Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to the first episode of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer.
And we are in love with all things Outlander. So I was introduced to the books in 1997. I was living in New York at the time.
I was about to say 99, but no, no, that was me. Okay, go ahead.
I was living in New York at the time, and I happened to be in a grocery store. And I had a very long commute on the subway, so I used to buy books at random from the checkout stand.
Huge books?
Any book. I mean, Granted, huger the better, because Lord knows I didn't have a lot of money, and it made more sense to buy books that would take longer to read. Plus, subway rides were interminably long. And as long as I had a seat, it was a great place to catch up on some reading.
But how long was the commute? I'm just curious. Like 40 minutes?
It was like 45 minutes each way. Goodness. So, I mean, it's an hour and a half just on the subway. Mm. But I happened upon Drums of Autumn. And I had a little bit of like a fetish for Highland novels. I enjoyed reading them. So that kind of drew me in because I saw that it looked kind of like a picnic basket sat out on the cover and it had a plaid thing.
I didn't think we were supposed to talk about fetishes on this podcast. Maybe a liking, an obsession maybe?
Oh, come on. It's just a word. Okay, go ahead. It's just a word.
Very good. Carry on.
Anywho, so I buy this book and I start reading it and I could immediately tell I was missing something. Because I didn't realize it until probably 3 or 4 chapters in that this was the 4th book in a series.
Oopsie.
The good thing about Diana Gabaldon, though, is that she does give you information as it goes along, so I didn't feel completely lost, but I could tell there was a whole lot of story I was missing. Like 3 books times 800 pages each? So
at least, approximately.
So like 2,400 pages I was missing out on, so I definitely had to go back after I read it and find the rest of the books and read them. But I will say that I was able to get enough of the backstory from reading the 4th book to know what was going on in the 4th book. Granted, I knew a lot more about the 4th book once I went back and read books 1 through 3. And then when did you get into them?
It's your fault.
It's always my fault.
It was 1999. I was in my 20s. I will say that. Ooh, I just aged myself kind of. Okay, that'll have to be edited out. It was 1999, and I was in school and also a student assistant. And I just remember somehow you told me, Ginger, you have to read this book. And that had happened a few times before. I had shared books with you. You had shared them with me. And I had never gotten one from you that you recommended that was bad. Did you give me the book or did I?
No,
you must have given it to me.
What I remember about this happening was that you had the book. You had it.
The first one?
And you hadn't read it. And I was like, I was telling you about the series, and I noticed, I think it was on your bookshelf or something, that you literally had the book, and you hadn't read it. And I was like, how could you have this book and have not already read it?
I obviously did not know I had it, or I forgot that I had it. So apparently I had it, and I was told to read it. So I don't know how long it was between you telling me to read it and me actually reading it, but I read it. And it was one of those books where you read it and you read and you read and you read and you'll skip a meal, or that book is your meal. When I was at work, I remember I was a student assistant, so I did have stuff to do, but it was kind of dependent on whom I got work from. So I was working, I think, half days. I didn't always have a full docket, so I had a good amount of downtime. I remember being at the computer, doing my job, and then moving to the side of my desk counter space, hunched over this book. And I remember being at work, crying over this book, sniffling. I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. I obviously fell in love with the book. And a number of years later, I am enamored of them, of Diana Gabaldon, etc. But of course,
me.
I did go on to read the rest, of course. And here's my confession. I know for a fact I read up to Fiery Cross. I know what happened. I know for a fact I have read at least part of A Breath of Snow and Ashes. I will admit, though, that I am not sure I read the whole thing or most of it or whatever. So I purchased the audiobook to listen to on commute. That's really the only time these days I have to kind of listen slash read. And I started listening to it. I have been listening to it. And I remember all of these things that are happening. Not so much the detail, but I remember the events. I'm not convinced that I didn't read it. But I don't know where I would have left off, so I guess I'm in the middle of a reread. I own Echo and the Bone, but I have not read that. My confession is I've been a fan since the 90s. I do consider myself dedicated. I mean, heck, we're doing a podcast. But I have not read all the books. So I thought I'd get my tail in gear to make sure I had read About the Snow and Ashes so that I can then read Echo and the Bone and then be ready for Moby in the spring when it comes out. I did actually do a recent reread of Outlander, and I'll probably do another reread of Outlander before
the series. Sidebar, I still don't understand how they came up with Moby. Why they call it...
Written in My Own Heart's Blood or My Own Heart's Blood? One of the two.
Right.
But My Own Heart's Blood, the letters M-Y... No, that's not right. Sorry. Moby, M-O-B-Y, Ginger, let's spell. My Own, M-O, Heart's Blood, H-B, right? Yeah, okay, can't do it. I thought I had it. But and I know that
when I mean, is it a silent H?
No. There's no H in it.
I know, but because it's not pronounced, if you were going to pronounce, did they kick it out? I mean, was it...
Is
it not allowed to the party?
Summer, go grab your tablet. Let's look this up.
Okie doke. All right. What do I Google? Do I Google, like, Moby?
I think I would Google My Own Heart's Blood Moby. Or other way around.
All right, let's try that. Okay.
Okay, so according to... What site is this? Outlandish Observations. There's our very first plug. Outlandishobservations.blogspot.com. And they post... It is explaining why and how it's referred to as Moby. The first letters of each word, except for written in. So My Own Heart's Blood would be M-O-H-B. But if you look at M-O-H-B and pronounce it, what does M-O-H-B look like? It looks like Mo-B, the letter B. But it's pronounced like you would just pronounce Moby Dick, M-O-B-Y.
Okay. Or Moby, like that techno.
Or Mo...
That techno
is that a Y?
DJ guy.
Is that a Y or is that an I? Okay, it's a Y. Great. So there you go.
We were close. We were close initially. We were almost there.
We were getting there, but very far from a cigar.
We definitely needed a map. So these books came out in like the early 90s, like the really early 90s, like 91-ish, I think, if I'm not mistaken. We need to get a fact checker on the show.
I thought that was your job.
Oh, crap. Next time, I'll be better prepared. Anyway. I mean, I started reading in the late 90s, like 1997, and I feel like I've been waiting a very long time for this to be turned into something. I can't imagine what people who are waiting years longer than I have are feeling about this. I always got nervous over the years when they said it was optioned for a film, because I just don't think they could have done enough to make the fans happy with the outcome in 2 hours or even 3 hours.
I just don't think it, so much would have had to have been cut that it could not have done the book justice. And even if it had great actors, great script, although I don't know even how a script could be called good if it cut out, I don't know how much, 2/3 of the book. I don't know, but yeah, I agree.
Well, the way that I've heard is that with screenplays, generally, it's one page of dialogue is a minute of screen time. So if you figure 2.5-hour movie, that's roughly 150 pages. So you would have to cut out, like, what, 650 pages of an 800-page book? Condense it down to like 150 pages. I mean, you would lose so much. And I know that so much can be done with what you see, like a picture they say is worth 1,000 words, but I think they would literally have to cut the heart and soul out of this book to make it fit into 2 hours or 2.5, or even Lord of the Rings length, the 3.5-hour movie. Mm-hmm. So I was always discouraged when I got optioned for a film, but when I heard that Ron Moore was going to be, was, I guess, creating or helming the conversion of this to a show for television, I started to get excited. But then I got nervous again because we didn't know a channel had picked it up, was going to pick it up. And if it went on network television, what could they show? They would have to, yeah, even again, cable. Even, well, even cable.
Network-ish.
Cable's getting a lot racier, but it's, they still can't go to the level that like your premium channels can, like your HBO, your Showtime, your, mm-hmm, your Stars. Yay, Stars. Anyway, so then we had the next wait of what channel's going to pick it up. Is a channel going to pick it up? And then we heard that Stars picked it up. And at the time, we were heavily invested in Spartacus on Stars. So knowing the things that Stars is 100% willing and able to put in a television show that they create, I think that we are in the right hands for a writer. I think we're in the right hands for a television channel. And I think that the Stars are just aligning for this to make something that I think could be really great. And not only that, but an average show on Stars, I think like Spartacus had like, what, 8 to 10 episodes?
Yeah.
So that was a little disheartening, maybe going in thinking, you know, they've only got so, you know, they're compressed seasons. They don't have the length and breadth of like network television that can have like 22 episodes. But I was like, well, I think they can do it. Game of Thrones puts those giant books together and gets a pretty cohesive story and gets everything across, I think. They do a pretty good job.
And doesn't Game of Thrones do about 9 or 10 episodes?
I think so. I think last season it was 9 or 10. But those books are also huge. They're also big, long books. But when I heard that we get 16 episodes, I wanted to throw a party. Because that is, I literally think they can get almost the entire book, practically word for word, if they wanted to, in that amount of time.
With the correct adaptation, of course, because so much of the book happens in Claire's head, or, excuse me, not imagined, but so much of the book is told to us. Yeah, her inner dialogue of what, or her description of what happened. So obviously we can't have a Claire narrator. As nice as that may be, we still don't have our Claire, okay, but more of that later. But yes, I think with the adapting it, having 16 one-hour episodes leads us to very good possibilities.
I think it's the only way that you could do this right. Because if they did one crappy two-hour movie that everybody hated, they would never do it again. And we'd never see any of the other books come to life.
We'll never know until it's picked up again or happens. But that's the big thing. It's number one, we're tickled pink, so thrilled, as so many of the fans are, that this is being produced at all, but brought to Stars, etc. It would be a little death if we got this wonderful Outlander and then didn't get. I can only speak for myself, but I would believe others would feel similarly in that we hope this is a 8 to 9 or 10, Ms. Gabaldon, year project. This has so much potential, so we hope for the best and we're very excited.
I agree. So after the Stars announcement, there was kind of a lull.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of stuff was going on, and I mean, there was buzz being created about it, I think
there was excitement because we knew that something was going to happen.
Right, but we had no real timeline of expectations. And I think it was a Thursday or a Friday, either, I think right after the 4th of July, when an intern at Stars, I'm assuming it's an intern, accidentally let the cat out of the bag before they were allowed to, announcing our Jamie Fraser, whose name is, I'm not going to butcher his name.
It's Sam Heughan.
There you go. Let's have a moment of silence. All right, I'm done. Anyway, we never got a chance to have it like a Jamie watch, where everyone was anxiously awaiting it because there was no timeline. No, I
didn't know anything was going to come down.
It was just kind of like it happened to pop up on my Twitter feed. And I was like, what? So, and then I think then they retracted it. And then we spent the whole weekend going, what is going on? Did they hire him? Did they not hire him? And it wasn't until I think Monday when they made the official announcement.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a rough weekend.
The official announcement obviously made things worse, and I mean that worse in a good way. But once that cat was let out of that bag, I think that was probably the what I would call the official beginning of the Outlander watch, if you will. The casting watch, the basically any announcement concerning the show watch, although it was not called such. But that was the point at which the shizzle hit the fan, if you will. Once we knew we had our Jamie and the coming weeks or the following weeks had, we found out more information about him.
I honestly think that Twitter owes stars money.
You mean the opposite way around?
No. Because I think Twitter got like 5,000 to 6,000 new Twitter handles based on that. Because once all of the ladies of Lollybrock figured out that Sam was on Twitter and that he was interacting with his fans, all these people who'd never even seen or heard about Twitter before were getting Twitter accounts.
That's true, but Twitter does have millions, if not billions, of users, so it's 5,000. Now, maybe in that short span of time, that may have been a big hit. But
did you just say twit service?
No.
It sounded like it.
Hits to it. Okay, I don't know. We'll have to listen to that again. I didn't hear that. Anyway, but yes, they definitely, many people who I have read, at least on Facebook, many people who have said that they would never join Twitter have broken down and joined. And I must say, though, I do like being able to go to Facebook and go to a certain group, any of the groups basically, and kind of go through and see what notifications or what posts have been posted since my last visit. Twitter is not impossible to follow. The difference is that, at least in my mind, Facebook I can go to whenever I want. And you can go to Twitter whenever you want as well. But Facebook to me is, it's constantly being updated, but it's much easier to, I think, to follow things on Facebook, a conversation. You may have to scroll down. But on Twitter, things are just moving so fast. And oh my goodness. And it's just, it's a whirlwind. And if you had not, or even now, have not been on Twitter before Jamie was announced, and then with the sudden influx of hooligans, if you will, sudden influx of Gabaldon Outlander fans, yeah, it can be a little overwhelming. I believe me, I've used it for years, since about 2008.
Yeah, and I think you were posting like once a year.
Well, yeah, maybe like a few times a year, but not, oh gosh. Yeah, more to that in a second. But I definitely think there is a learning curve with Twitter. I don't think it's difficult. It can be very overwhelming. So about the tweeting, I've had Twitter since 2008, but I admit it. It may have been a few times a month. It wasn't a big, huge thing. But then this happened. And I have tweeted more in the past 2 months than, oh my goodness, than I care to say. I do most of it from my phone because obviously I have to be attached to it
and
at all times.
It's constantly like dinging.
It is.
I need to turn the notifications off.
At work, it's on vibrate or on silent, but here at home, it's on ding ding. And so I get all the sounds and all that. And it's a little bit, I want to say it can be embarrassing, but it's a little, it definitely is, has affected, and this is my fault, I allow it to, but it definitely has affected my life as far as habits. Number one, I tweet more, obviously. But I'm checking my phone. I'm one of those people now. I don't like that. But I'm now one of those people who is, every time there's a vibrate or a ding ding, whatever sound notification you have set, I am looking. And as other people have tweeted, when you see that DG has tweeted something or Outlander Stars has tweeted something, I start getting twitchy and I'm like, oh gosh, what is it now? Is it Claire? Is it more? Is it whatever? What is it? What is it? What more are we going to find out now? And so there definitely has been a change in my
tweeting habits.
Tweeting habits and tweeting freak. Oh, tweet freak. Tweeting frequency. Thank you. But the one thing, the downside besides being, just a way too attached to my phone.
Her cats miss her.
Oh, gosh, they do. But that's, there's a lot of reasons that
and
they miss me.
Didn't you say you have, like, Twitter thumb? Or?
I do. I was about to say that. I don't know what to call it. I have Twitter thumb. Some people scroll on their iPhones using their index finger or middle finger or whatever. I use my thumb, and it hurts. It didn't hurt in the beginning, but I use this so much and then I have to type at work and, you know, open things like open doors, open car doors and like use my hands like anyone else. And it just, I think it's finally getting better, but for like a week, it was just, I tweaked it somehow. It was sore. So yes, there are definitely hazards to following this Outlander watch. It can affect your life. Oh my goodness, my sleep habits have gone kaploop. It is not a good thing. Not a good thing. But of course, I keep doing it. So there you go. So once we had our Jamie, once Sam was cast, I think safely assumed that we were off to the races and the countdown had begun. But after, didn't you say we found shortly after or just, yeah, not too long after we heard about Sam being cast, it was announced that filming would begin in September of this year, which was amazing because you go from knowing nothing about it to hearing about its announcement to having one of the main characters cast to finding out that the show is going to begin being filmed in like less than 3 months' time or something like
right.
that.
Right. And then it was going to be aired, I believe, in April of 2014.
Yes, I think so. So you have all of this excitement. And then a few weeks went by and then we heard about Tobias, correct? As Blackjack Randall and Frank, double cast.
Correct.
Single cast for a double role. I know everyone has their opinions. There are opinions out there of Sam. If you're a fan and you've been anywhere on the internet or the interwebs, you've read it. You've read them all. Or if you greet around, you've read about them. And we're not here to talk about any fantasy casting or anything like that. We're here to talk about our love of the books and definitely comment upon the final choices, but in support and progressing towards that end of having a successful show. So we had our Sam. We found out more about him. We found out about Blackjack Randall.
Well, there was not a long pause between the two castings. So with that being the only marker we had, I think it was kind of assumed that we would get our Claire.
Or at least someone. She's the only big one, really big one left after you have those two men.
Right. You assume that because it wasn't that long of a time span between those two castings that we weren't going to be waiting that long for them to cast a Claire.
Yes. And so I couldn't say exactly which date the hashtag ClaireWatch or ClaireWatch 2013 was first used, but I think the unofficial ClaireWatch actually began probably technically once Jamie was announced, because we didn't know we were going to get any announcements, and then boom, we got Jamie, and we then didn't know who to expect, but it makes sense to expect a Claire not too far,
well,
not too long after.
They're going to have
We're not going to have a show with a woman with a paper bag over her head.
I think she's going to be CGI, like Avatar.
Oh, goodness. No, I think it's going to be sock puppet Claire. Yes. That, if you follow on Twitter, you'll know what I mean. It's actually quite great. And Marionette Donnas as the horse. It's pretty awesome. You should go look at that, too. You could safely say that we thought we could maybe expect it not too long after we heard about Sam. And then finding out about Blackjack Randall wasn't Claire, but it was a pretty big deal. And I think it was satisfying because it was something. We were just happy for something. And then if Claire Watch had not begun by that time, it definitely got started shortly after Tobias was cast. And this has been a ride. A frustrating, an exciting, but frustrating ride.
Yes.
Yesterday we did get the double casting.
Well, and I would like to say thank you, Stars, for releasing that information, because those are two characters that, you know, it's good. We want to know. We do want to know who you cast.
We're never unthankful. We are thankful for anything they are happy or willing to share. So that must be said up front. We are happy to know about Jamie. We're happy to know about Tobias and everyone else. And we're happy about Mrs. Fitz and Angus. Not a nasty or negative word to say about any of that. We're so happy that you share that with us.
That being said,
we just want
to
know.
We need to know who's playing Claire. I mean, I don't know how much longer I can wait.
It's a little frustrating. Man, if you do a hashtag search on Twitter for hashtag ClaireWatch or hashtag ClaireWatch 2013, you can read for hours, and it's funny and sad, and yeah. So I'm going to assume, I could be wrong, but I'm going to guess that someone listening to this, or anyone potentially listening to this, is on ClaireWatch with us. And that actually, you know, I have to say, ClaireWatch is, I believe, the reason for this podcast. I have to say, neither myself, Ginger, nor my partner in crime, Summer, thought about it. I had no inkling of anything. I had no idea, no kernel of an idea. When it was announced, when Jamie was announced, when Tobias was, any casting, nothing. But it was this for us now, long-term, progressively non-existent Claire that was, we had no Claire. And it was this expectation or this hope that I believe has kind of brought the fan community maybe together a little bit more. We're still quite disparate. We're no two of us are alike or are the same. But this Claire watch, for good or for ill, has brought, I think, a lot more people together in a common concern, or if you will. So we kind of suffer together, and I mean that with love, stars. We suffer together, and we also anticipate together, and we also are excited together. Even though we wait, and of course it can be frustrating, I really do truly think once we have Claire, especially, but even in 6 months from now, once the series has started and we're actually talking about the shows and what we saw or how we felt, how we experienced it, I think truly that we will look back on Claire Watch 2013 as a fond time.
No.
Hey, I think so. Right now, I believe you, it's probably, for you, it's a no. I think it's like giving birth. You're growing a baby, you're growing a baby, you're growing a baby. The reasons that you can maybe stay with the pain or stay with the experience is that you know there is an end to it. You know you're not going to be carrying a baby for 10 years. But just as with the baby, and thankfully not as painful and not as long, Claire Watch will have an end. We will have a Claire.
I'm going to buy you a watch and name it Claire, because you have said Claire Watch like 30 times in the last like 3 minutes.
Should that be our drinking game?
You saying Claire Watch?
Well, not to myself. No, anyway, there was a drinking game
that's
announced.
That's like cheating.
Oh, that's true, because then I would
you
know.
Keep saying it.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to talk about, Claire Watch. I do think that Claire Watch is the reason for this podcast. Thank you, stars, for making us wait and making us suffer, and so that we could come up with this idea for whatever it's worth.
So I think that about wraps up our first episode of the Outlander podcast, or as some people call it, the Outlander pod.
Thank you so much for listening. We really enjoyed putting this together, and we look forward to many more episodes up to and including discussing the series.
Once it starts airing, of course. So until next time.
Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our Audio Boom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/Outlander Pod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at Outlander Pod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Outlander Pod. Or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.
I dreamt it last night that my young love